Can you tell us a bit about the film?
Samui Song is about a woman, a Thai soap opera actress, married to a French guy. They lived in Thailand, and of course the husband becomes more and more dedicated to this strange cult, like religion, to the point where it became a problem in their marriage, and she had to kill him. She couldn't kill him, she had to hire someone to kill him, and it just goes downhill from there, I think.
So what inspired you to create it?
The first inspiration is that I was shopping in my neighborhood and in Bangkok, and I saw an actress, a very famous actress. She was shopping with her husband, a foreign husband. And I was following them to see what they buy, you know. And that's it. That was kind of like the end of it. And I didn't think much of it. And I think a few days later, I was swimming. And I thought of them, of this couple. And I thought, like, what were they like at home? So I was swimming, thinking. And then, you know, I see them watching television together. I see them eating. I see them spending their lives together. And I think by the time when I finished my swim and I was in the shower, she was about to kill him.
Were you suspicious of him because of maybe the way that foreign people tend to treat their Thai wives?
No. It got to that point that she had to kill him, or it became like a murder story. It just purely from my own imagination. Maybe in real life, maybe they're super happy, you know. They look happy, you know. But it's me. I think the problem is me, you know. When I see something that looks really good from outside, I think something must be wrong inside, you know. That's not the truth. It's just my own weird way of looking at things, I think.
I thought it was interesting the way that the film follows and creates empathy for multiple different characters that are set against each other. We feel empathy for the hitman, Guy Spencer, because of his sick mother. It's very unusual for this style of film.
I think we made the decision with the film that we wanted to do a film noir. We wanted a Hitchcock. And as the film develops, it completely goes off the course that what Hitchcock would do, you know, and became like a mixed bag of cinematic genre. It's funny that you mentioned The Hitman and his mother, because this film, for me, is my least personal film. I feel no personal connection to it. I just wanted to make a fun story for the audience, you know, as opposed to my other films, that they were more personal. This one, I felt that was very impersonal. I wanted to make a fun film, you know. The character of Guy Spencer and his mother was, for me, it was the most personal part of me, because I had a mother who, you know, Alzheimer's disease, and because she passed away like 6 years ago. Mm. But she was kind of in that stage almost in the film, except that in my real life, you know, I didn't look after her the way he did in the film. Maybe it's my guilt or something that I made that part, that he took care of her. And I think that part, the hitman and his mother, became the most tender part of the entire film.
A lot of your films seem to deal with predestination or fate. Is this film intended to be a statement of fatalism, or do you think of yourself as being someone who believes a lot in fate?
Yeah, I'm a believer in that, because we are so not in control of our lives. Mm. We are so not in control, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Anyone who believes that they're in control of their lives are in for a big surprise, I think, you know. And if you're not in control, someone has to be in control, I think.
Right.
You know? Okay, as a Buddhist, in our Buddhist culture in Thailand, it's not like God is in control. It's not like that. It's more like what is in control of your life is your karma, is what you did in the past. I mean, we have a saying, like, you can forget about your past, you know, but your past won't forget you. It's like you go into a restaurant and you order all this food, right? When you finish eating, you can't just leave. You have to pay.
This film seems to be commenting quite a bit on dark aspects of Thai society. Was that the intent with this film? Because it's interesting to do that in a fun thriller.
I think to be like a filmmaker in Thailand, it's a bit like to be a filmmaker in the States, where films are not looked upon as being art. It's more like entertainment. I'm talking about like commercial films. And in my case, you know, especially with this film, we were trying to make like fun commercial film, you know, which that's why I said it was not personal. So in that tradition of like commercial filmmaking, if you have something to say, like a deeper or more serious stuff to say, you kind of have to be a smuggler. Like American filmmakers are like that. You know, if you look at John Ford, if you look at Martin Scorsese, if you look at even Spielberg from time to time, even James Cameron from time to time.
Yeah.
You look at their film, it's like these big spectacles and stuff, but like, you know, Minority Report, I thought, you know, he had something to say about the American society, you know. So being a commercial filmmaker in Thailand is a bit like that. You still want the audience to come and see the film, and for the audience not to think of the message or the whatever you want to say in the film, they can just enjoy a murder story. They can enjoy a Hitchcock movie, you know. So yeah, you smuggle your personal anger, whatever is personal to you, you kind of put it into another layer.
What is it that attracts you about noir?
I don't know. I love everything about film noir. I don't get tired of it, you know. I think the first thing that attracted to me about film noir is that it's very stylish, and I like that. People always, they dress really well in film noir. You know? Mm-hmm. They smoke all the time, which is like the cigarette smoke in films are irresistible to me. Like a cigarette, it's almost like a beautiful thing in films.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's a cinematic device, you know. When someone lights up a cigarette, you know, without any dialogue, how they feel. On top of that style, they talk about things that people don't talk about in the open, something dark. And I like that, you know. I think the stylish elements and this dark side of your thoughts, I think they match together really well.
The cult depicted in the film, is that based on a real problem in Thailand of these kind of malicious cults?
It's actually based on a piece of news. Yeah. You know? Actually, when I first wrote the script, there was none of that, the religious cult aspect in the film at all. It was just a problem between this husband and wife, you know. But there was a point where she had to kill him to free herself from this marriage. I was trying to think of some kind of plot mechanism for her to kill him. And the things that I could come up with were so boring, were so really like cliched, like he had a mistress, you know, or she had a boyfriend, you know. It was like really banal, you know. And so I was stuck. But one day I was driving, and then I heard on the radio in my car that this monk got caught doing something really terrible, something with money or women, you know, whatever. And he was expelled from the monkhood. But instead of just giving up, he left the country and went to somewhere in the West, like Canada or America or whatever. And he started this cult, this new religion. And all the followers who were his followers when he was a monk in Thailand, even they knew that he did something bad, got kicked out of monkhood. When he started a new religion, they all follow him. And what I've realized that many of these monks who were expelled because they did something bad, most of them are very charismatic. They're like rock stars. The moment these monks, when they walk into a room, you wouldn't believe, you know, it's just like, it really affects you. And yeah, these women follow him. And so when I heard that piece of news on the radio, I thought, wow, this could be a reason why she had to get out.